Welcome back to session two. We are talking covenant, and we're trying to understand ourselves a slight bit better. We're looking at the Word and trusting that the Holy Spirit will really break open what the full extent and the beauty of covenant is in a biblical context to all of us. Now, we already know, and we have said this to each other, that relationship is so important in life. We've got a plethora of relationships all over in every facet of our lives. And so we need to understand these things, but I think primarily we need to understand our relationship with God. Now, in the previous session, we said to one another, God relates with his people in covenant. He's a covenantal God. And so these different relationships have different dynamics. We'll make sure that we know that there's different expectations, there's different actions required, and hence there's different commitments. And so in light of that, covenant with God is very important. What is the expectations? What are the actions? And what is these commitments that we are talking about? Now, we're going to look at covenant and break that open. And we're going to look specifically at the covenant of Abram in this session. So let's move on. A covenant, we said, is a type of relationship that is shaped by promises made. These promises are held sacred and binding. I think we can remember this. Remember, sacred and binding. Covenant, we said in the previous session, like marriage, it's not just any agreement. I'm not buying something at the local grocery store. This is sacred and binding, and very often to the point of death. It is sacred and binding, and there's always, with covenant, sacrifice involved. We're going to look at sacrifice as well. The three elements was what again? Firstly, we said there's an oath or promises made. Secondly, there's a sacrifice, which is a very important element. And thirdly, there's a sign. There's a clear sign that these two parties are in relationship with one another. Now, because covenant is sacred and binding, and because we know it is for life, we need to be careful. Why do we need to be careful? Can I enter into a covenant with any Joe Soap? Can I go into covenant with my friend or even my church? Is that what covenant is meant to be? We need to be careful about that and really trust the Lord, because covenant as such, when appropriately done, brings forth beautiful life. But when inappropriately done, is absolutely destructive. So covenant might not be applicable for a friendship. You're not going to shed blood and sacrifice. There's going to be an understanding and a trust, but the intimacy and the depth is to a limit. Yet a marital covenant, there is sacrifice. There we know is clearly a sacrifice in the marital bed as well. And from that, beautiful intimacy, stability, and safety flows. But moreover, we're not going to make covenant with friends or colleagues. So we need to be wise about where and with whom we make covenant. We're going to look at covenant in the Word today, and we're going to look specifically at Abram. Now, we already know that covenant is sacred and binding, and it is for life, most probably. So we do not want to end up going into covenant with the wrong person. Because as we said, that is destructive and can be detrimental and can really lead to a loss and heartache for a lot of people. But the problem is not only that. What if I go into covenant with the wrong person? Now, I think it's common course that we've heard this often said, that I just don't want to marry the wrong person. That's a very wise thing to say. I think we need not fear. We can trust the Lord in leading us. But it's very wise, because it's a very serious commitment. And covenant is a very serious agreement entered by two people. Now, we can easily say that the wrong person can often be when two people are unequally yoked or not equal in that relationship. What am I saying? Very simply this. Somebody is giving and the other person is just receiving. Somebody is saying something, but they're betraying and they're unfaithful. That leaves us again with a problem. We mentioned the very key word trust in a previous session. And so when trust is broken, The connection is broken. The relationship is broken. And so we need to be careful when a relationship becomes covenant and that covenant is unequal. Moving back to Abram, can we see that that might have been a problem for Abram? Abram being man, flesh, sinful nature, broken in and of himself, and then God, holy, perfect, just, not a man that he should lie, always trustworthy. I can see a bit of a problem brewing here. Now we can safely say that God will keep his word. We can see in the word that God is holy. He is just, and he will perfectly uphold what he says. He will perfectly uphold the covenant that he enters into. We, unfortunately, as Abram, will inevitably break covenant, if not for the grace of the Lord. So this is an unequal relationship between Abram and God. And likewise, we can see the parallel between us and God as well. Suddenly, covenant, if seen for what it is, in the serious light and the repercussions that it can have, suddenly, covenant becomes a bit of a terrifying thing. It is like ending up in the wrong marriage, even worse. You're in this agreement, you're in this covenant with God, but you're unequal. For he is holy, perfect. For he cannot lie. For he is faithful, and he is just, and he is righteous. And I can go on. Yet I, like Abram, am not. So this conundrum or this problem needs an answer. And we're going to find that in Scripture. Martin Luther, you all know Martin Luther by now, a devotional man, somebody that left a big imprint in both church and Christian history. He was hit off his horse by lightning. And as he lay there, he made a commitment to God, saying, Lord, if you save me from this, I will devote my life to you. I'll give everything. It's got a bit of a covenantal flavor to it, doesn't it? It sounds like a covenant to me. Let's agree on this. And he said, Lord, I'll devote. I'll give everything. Just get me out. God did. And so what did Martin do? He went into monastery and he devoted his life to God. And you might say, well, let's applaud Martin Luther for doing just that. Yet a bit of a downward spiral happened in his life in that he could not rid himself of the sin. The more he fasted, the more he started to punish himself, the more he tried to rid himself of his sinful nature and reconnect to God, the less he felt that he hit the mark. And he really ended up in a very, very bad, bad spot. Until one day, reading his word, he opened up with Romans 1 verse 17, which says, the just shall live by faith. And by God, thank you to the Holy Spirit, a revelation broke open that not only impacted and changed his life, but as we said, changed church and changed Christian history for us. The just shall live by faith. In context, what are we talking about? We're talking about covenant. We're talking about the fact that with God, it's always unequal. How can I keep my end of the bargain? It's not really possible. And then we see that God comes and through faith, he brings grace. And we're going to see how he does that in Scripture. Let's read together Genesis 15.
Take 10 minutes to reflect on and discuss this session's key Bible passage together with others in your class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the key Bible passage by yourself.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. What a promise. And he brought him aside and said, Look toward heaven and the number of stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord. See the faith. And he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? You see, for a moment he wonders, can God be trusted? We're going to see the answer in covenant shortly. He said to him, bring me an ephah 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid them each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove it away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, a dreadful great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with a great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now we see in this passage how Abram is back against the wall, and he has again no children, no land, and he calls out to the Lord, and God gives him these amazing promises, not only to him, but even to Israel. We see here how, not maybe exactly, but as a good prototype and picture, the religious history of God and Israel, or God and his people, God and his church, is shown to us through Abram. It's a picture, a metaphor to us. So if we look at that, we can very easily see the parallels in our lives, in the church's life, and so also for Israel. Abram, old, no heir, no property, God coming with a beautiful promise and saying, this is what I will do. We see two elements here in Scripture, both having faith and then going back on that and wondering, will God actually do this? Can God be trusted? What is the three elements of the covenant that we see in Scripture? Firstly, we see the promises. Remember the three, the promises of the covenant. That's very self-explanatory. Then we see the sacrifice, the blood of the covenant. Which is that? That is the offering and the sacrifices of the animals. And then thirdly, the sign. This is not so directly mentioned here in this particular scripture, but if you look further on, as the notes also state, in Genesis 17:10, it refers to the circumcision of all the males. I love the beautiful picture, the beautiful parallel which that has for us in the new covenant of the circumcision of our hearts. But we can share about that a little bit later. Very importantly here is faith in spite of doubt. Faith in spite of unbelief. In other words, we can still see the inequality, but God chose to enter into covenant. We can still see that God says, I will bind myself. Trust me. I give you covenant. Trust me. Abram ignored what he had brought or was able to bring to the table and was wholeheartedly trusting of what God can bring to the table. That is a beautiful picture of grace to us. The inequality, I want to say, wiped away by the grace of God. God saying in his absolute magnificence, in spite of the inequality, in spite of the fact that you've got nothing really to bring to the party, Abram, I still want to covenant with you. I still want to give you these promises. How do we see this play out very practically in this part of Scripture? We see that Abram actually falls asleep. I've never seen a contracting parties in all my years of an attorney of signing an agreement whilst they are asleep. Abram falls asleep. He's out of the picture. He's a mere participant by spectating from the side as God comes and cuts covenant with himself. You see how beautifully the pot and the flaming torch walks through these sacrifices as Abram is fast asleep. So God makes covenant with himself because he knows, I can trust myself. He binds himself through grace and says, yeah, I give it to you. I covenant with myself on your behalf so that you can have the benefit of that. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. It also sounds exactly like the new covenant to me. It also sounds like God saying, I know you can't. I know it is unequal. But can I? And in fact, I will. And he sent his son. He sent his son to enter into a new covenant with us. That as Abram, we can take by faith. And yes, there will be moments of unbelief. And yes, there will be moments of doubt. But God stays faithful. I was in tears in preparation for these sessions, just realizing how beautiful and perfect God is in giving us this covenant and then helping us in the same way because of his grace, his faithfulness, and his father heart. The answer of inequality, in other words, is wiped away graciously if we just have faith in the Lord. There's something we need to do as well, and we're going to look at that later on. But faith for now is what is important. Let's look again at that part of scripture in Romans 4 in light of faith. And Abram's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abram never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abram's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abram's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. How beautiful is the question of inequality? How beautiful is the question of this ill balance in covenant relationship with God answered already through Abram as a prototype and picture for us of the Christ coming? God saying, I know you can't, but I am willing. And I will sacrifice on your behalf. And by faith, you become righteous. That's how I see the beauty and the warmth and the love of covenant. Whereas in the past, I might erroneously have thought, man, it sounds like a cold thought. It's an undergirding, faithful way in which a good father has relationship with his children and through which he blesses us who has faith in him. Now, before we end off, it's very important to note that when we realize that covenant opens up a whole new world of grace unto us, we can become a bit flippant about it. In other words, what you receive for free often, you do not necessarily cherish. Yet I think if we walk in the fear of the Lord, and if often we realize our brokenness without the Lord, and life is a way just to show you, you'll keep in that space where you'll always remember a true understanding of grace breeds humility, not arrogance. And that is what I'm challenged to do when I see this beauty of covenant being played out through the word of the Lord. So God is a God of covenant. He realized, and that we have also seen through Abram, that his relationship with us is often not very equal. He is holy and perfect and just, and he will keep covenant until the end of time. Yet on the other side, we can't say the same. But through his love and his grace, God, as with Abram, comes to us and says, look here, I will underwrite these obligations of covenant on your behalf. Will you have faith? Will you believe? And will you receive it? I think it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of grace. Let's quickly pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace through covenant. Thank you, Lord, that through all three elements, we can see your beauty. We can see your perfection. We can see your holiness. Thank you, Lord, that even as the father of faith was not perfect, you've shown your grace so beautifully in this part of Scripture. And thank you, Lord, that by faith, we can also be partakers of the beautiful covenant that you have with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take 15 minutes to reflect on and discuss the following points together with others in the class. If you are watching on your own, take a few minutes to reflect on the points by yourself. You can find the discussion points in your Bible school handbook. Look out for the Living the Word sections in each session.